Okay. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we're back after Yom Tov, and at the urging of my wife, we just learned something new from the Torah. So we have over here, and in Chavos Halavos, we have a after Shaar V'Tochen, and you'll see how it actually meshes in. There's a fifth gate called Shaar Yichud HaMaisa, and the way it's translated, this is a translation I take no responsibility for. I just copied and pasted it off somewhere. And the reason I'm saying that is because all translations, every translation is never really accurate. I'm starting with this heading. They translate the gate of wholehearted devotion that was off the internet. And then if you look in the Sefer here, of all acts, that's over here in this edition from Feldheim. Yichud HaMaisa, you ever hear, knows Lashon Kodesh. Yichud HaMaisa. Maisa means action. And Yichud does not mean wholehearted, right? You have to be a genius. I don't know English. That's my problem. So I don't know how to say it. So I just wrote it down just to point out nothing wrong with it. It's a wholehearted devotion. But Yichud HaMaisa, what he means over here, he's looked inside his what he wants to do over here. You can look over here. So let's look inside. He says himself, what does he want to do? He said, Beveir, he wants to explain. How do we make it that all our actions are miyuchad, are devoted or united? And for Hashem, and to be careful from chayne versus flattery. Why am I choosing? I said why I'm choosing this. You're wondering where I'm going with this. If you look at page two, he's going to give you 10 steps how you actually get to the point where you can actually take everything you had from Chedesh Tishrei. You had the Rosh Hashanah, you had Kippur, you had Sukkot, you served Hashem from Sirius, I'm happy. And now you want to bring it all into the action in our daily lives, right? That's Yichud HaMaisa, really. And he tells you how to do it. It sounds pretty complicated. I'd like to uncomplicate things. But what I'm really shooting for is, and what I think with the benefit of our class is going to be over the next few weeks, is learning and searching and to understand number 10. Number 10 is interesting. At the end of it all, what is that? He says, she avoids him aseichel, a person should take counsel. A person should take counsel from a seichel. When he writes seichel in Chavos Halavos, he means seichel the gedusha, seichel of Torah, seichel of how Hashem explains these things. Behold, all the thoughts of the yetzer in his heart, and the kabbalat zosei, and to receive the yetzer, the counsel of the seichel, mibilti as asisir, not that as isrei. And we heard this be saying a lot of times in the ability to have the tachon Hashem. Really, let's do a quick recap. The tachon really means trusting Hashem to give you what you're looking for. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? Why is tachon important? Because the tachon means that you're trusting Hashem to give you what you need to serve Him. I forgot to say that this shir is in the course of our Yaakov ben Sima for Geula, and Avraham Yitzchak ben Miriam for the four. That's because of them, the so we have been talking to this, that Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov will have a Geula, and Avraham Yitzchak will have the four. And so, obviously, as we're working on our betachon, there's going to be doubts and questions. And so the thought is now to spend a few classes, sorry, more than a few, see how much you're interested in learning, because But how the Yetzer Hara works, basically. And this is really a foundation in an ability to actually serve Hashem, is to realize what Chava realized. But Chava didn't realize that Erech Chaim HaKadosh writes, this week is Parshas Noach. Last week we relearned Parshas Bereishis. How was the Nachash, which was a Satan, able to fool Chava to do something she knew Hashem didn't want her to do? The way he did it was, he started a conversation and he started whittling down. So he started throwing down. Well, Hashem said not to eat it, not to eat that. He started dividing between the tree itself and the fruit. That's a whole long explanation, what Chava answered and what the Nachash said. And finally, at the end of the whole deal, he threw enough doubt into Chava, and Chava was enticed to, she gave a look and said, wow, this is going to be a really enjoyable event to eat from this fruit. So she ate it. So he asked, how did that happen? We see a lot of tzaddikim in all generations, but they still try to entice us every single day to do things that look pleasurable. We say, no. Where did she get fooled into listening to him, thinking that he was right? And he explains that Chava never imagined that there exists in the world, Hashem created the being in the world that's created to test her, right? She looked at the world, she got created, and she looks at a beautiful world Hashem created, and she realized she's created for a purpose, and she's willing to do the purpose to serve Hashem. And but she never realized Hashem alongside in the Gan Eden, he realized he created a Yetzirah. And the purpose of Yetzirah is to try to get Chava to do an Aveda. Now, how would you know? Nobody told her this. Now we know that. And maybe that's why the whole Torah tells about Chava. Why every year we learn about Chava's mistake. If I made a mistake, I don't want everybody learning every year about my mistakes. Come on.
We have to give birth.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
We think about it. Yeah.
Okay, but this, so why does the Tater have to tell us this? But this is the point. We have to know in the beautiful Gan Eden, in a beautiful, perfect world, Hashem did create a Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah's job. And that's and how he works is what we're learning in chapter 5. But before we get to chapter 5, we have to learn a few things. I don't think we get to chapter 5 today, but what we want to figure out is what is our goal, what do we want to accomplish? And along the side in being able to accomplish that, we have to also understand that there is a being, or there is an attitude, there is actually a being, and it's an inner being. And a lot of discussion, another thing we want to point out from here is that this being is inside us. It's not outside us. You know, not everybody. There's this visual that people have, but it's harder. It's like the nachash from outside. Actually, it's brought down that before the Chedesh Adas, the Yitzhahara was outside, and then when she ate from the Chedesh Adas, it became internal. It came internalized into the person. We'll talk about that. But that's exactly the point. The point is, you know, some of you remember there's a book Atzko gave out, The Little White Lie, or The Big White Lie. Yeah. And everything's somewhere outside trying to get something. So it's actually within us. And once we understand what's going on over here, so that's where the Asiri comes very important. That he says before you should know there's a Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah comes as a Nachash did with its arguments, and it seems like logical arguments, but those logical arguments fail because it's ignoring the fact that there is a Kedushadik way of looking at it. So we think, right, if it's logical, it's holy. If it makes sense, 2 plus 2 is 4. Whether 2 plus 2 is 4, whether you're talking about Hichal Shabbos, or if you're talking about math, how to build your house. I mean, it's the same thing, right? But that's in math. But when it comes to ideas about accepting the Yetzirah, we should do what Hashem wants or not, it's not like that. Because, for example, I'll give you a story. This Yom Kippur, we had a lot of Bachrim by us. I think it happened at the end of Yom Kippur. And I finished Abdullah, and one of the boys that was standing there tells me he has a big problem. What's his problem? His problem is that, how do you handle this, Rabbi? How do you handle this? So what handle what? I just finished Yom Kippur. So he says, my father wants me to go put up a sukkah with him. And for me, it's a trauma to work with my father in a sukkah. I'm not sure exactly. So I love that word. And it was a trauma. And so how do I handle it? So this is after Holy Yom Kippur. So, and he's been with me a few times. So here was the answer. It took about 15 minutes, but it wasn't a long time. I said, this, what you have here, I did not challenge that somehow his father, this there was a trauma involved. I don't know what the trauma really means. I know what the trauma really means, but it must have been something where his father asked him the previous times to put up a sukkah that bothered him, put it like that. And it bothered him to put up a sukkah. He uses the word trauma. Trauma means that it's unhealthy for him to put it up because it's going to, I don't know, it loses. And therefore, it triggered him. So this is all about the Tasa Yetzer, by the way. This is a perfect example. And I can give you a few more examples along the way for the last few weeks. So he wants to hear how he's supposed to deal with it. Because he knows that if a father asks to do something, Kibbutz Aim is supposed to say yes. On the other hand, it's unhealthy for him, right? He has to take care of his health. He has to be safe. So I said to him, okay, over here, you absolutely present it two ways. You can decide you want to go by your feelings. And if you help your father, it can hurt you. And you're not in the mood and it's trauma, whatever it is. And then you won't do it. And you'll feel better. And you feel you're doing what you want to do. On the other hand, you have an option to put yourself on the side. And you know that Abishah wants you to listen to your father. So you do it. You can do it. Abishah wants you to do it. Work with your father. And actually, you're going to show that even though it does bother you, I said, I didn't challenge the fact that it bothers him. So it bothers you. But actually, because it does bother you, that's why you're going to do it. Because Hashem wants you to do it nonetheless. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that Hashem, when the father used to build a sukkah, that you shouldn't build a sukkah because it bothers you. It doesn't say that. All right, one second. We can explore in a second. And I think I brought in Avraham Avinu. It was a 15-minute discussion about that. Was in the Kud. The Kud was you have two ways to see this situation. You have to see it as the Yetzirah wants to. You can understand it as the Yetzirah had an emotion coming up. In Yehuda Yetzirah, it's an emotion or a thought of the Yetzirah. And then because of that emotion, you want to act a certain way because of that emotion. Or you can ask your Seichel, how does Tata deal with it? What does Tata say in what should do situation? Well, I'm sure when the Abish told Avraham Avinu, take your son and shecht him and Hara Maria, there was an emotion involved that came that the father doesn't like to shecht the son. It's not things a father likes to do. But what does Avraham Avinu tell us? He put himself on the side and he was with Abish wants, and that's why we're here today, 3,000 years later, right? So this is the point. Now, obviously, building a circle of your father is not bringing your son as a kid. It's way beyond less than that. So if you have a choice. As a matter of fact, you can use it as an opportunity. I was flipping to the positive side. This is an opportunity for you to show Hashem that you really want to do what he wants, right? And so in the conversation, suddenly he said, okay, I'm going. He went, and I called him the next day. I was just curious to find what happened there. I usually don't. I know what I'm going to say. I know how it'll go. He thanked me very much. It went great. He had a great time. Because it seems like he did it before about him. It was his mom. She enjoyed every minute. What do you say to that? So this is what we get guidance from Taylor, that there was the Yitzhara. Yeah. He was never sick. He has the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara came in the guise of a therapist who convinced him that there's a trauma involved and that he's sick. He's not sick. He has the Yitzhara. He's sort of trying to knock him out of the park. And once you understand that, so then that's part of it. A healthy being has the Yitzhara. That's not sick. You're not sick. There's nothing to... Yeah, you had a day where you had a struggle. You were doing something Hashem didn't want you to do. You didn't do it. You did do it. But it depends. If you didn't do it, you should be proud of yourself. You did do it. So you got tricked into it, and so you don't show up, and you move on. You don't, there's nothing unnatural about having Yetzirah. That's how Hashem creates us. And that is our Aveda. That is our Aveda. And Hashem gives us 120 years to overcome it, doesn't it? Hashem doesn't expect
it. Which we learned from Naya. Yeah. It took 120 years
to build
the.
There you go.
Getting all the.
Yeah. So you have a Yetzirah, and so when you have that struggle, Yetzirah, even as you're working on your B'tachon, and make them more, you get a bit of thought in your mind. Doesn't mean your B'tachon is no good. Doesn't mean somehow how you failed. You have to know, and that's what he tells you. Okay, I jumped ahead because I want to show where I'm going from, but let's back up a little bit. You know, you had a question? If it's quick, yeah.
She feels like
her
brain's going, it's like an overload, like a sensory overload.
Yeah, who's this?
It's somebody, what's the difference?
A person.
Yeah.
A teenager, okay.
And she says she discussed it with her, okay, I know that doesn't mean, it's not from it doesn't mean much, but very much to the extent that she feels she wants to, but she feels she can.
Then I don't know exactly what to say. If this is the point why she has to be. What I find in talking to people, the most least amount talked about thing that I'll give another example. We had Baruch Hashem between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. We had a Baruch Hashem with our guests, and then my wife wanted a calm Shabbos, less people and people. So Baruch Hashem, 10 boys showed up, and we had a great Shabbos. Exactly. Yeah, Monday was anniversary. We were still married, Baruch Hashem. But they used to pay us back for the beautiful Shabbos table because they were all the Bachim were really. It was different types. Five from Lakewood, and then there's about different people. Two of them from Cleveland, from Minnesota, whatever. They started. They really got into asking questions, and it really. Turned into a real geshmak evening. We sat around, like, say, from 7:30 Kiddush to, like, 11:30 at night. It just kept on going. It was rolling. And with content, light, heavy, was good. But I did realize, after the whole thing, part of it was our children today are much more versed, and to answer your question, are much more versed in foreign ideas than they are in Taylor. They'll know about a lot of things when it comes to psychology, when it comes to manifesting came up. What manifesting is? Another sort of... That's not manifesting. Manifesting comes from Buddha, by the way, if you want to know where it comes from. You have to always ask, where's the source? Where's it come from? It's Mamash Aveda Zohar. Huh? Not the Shnigeya. But one thing I left side, yes, I was stunned for a second because, okay, so he's stuck in his 20s, but why? I asked them, I said, how come, why in the world are you guys so proficient when it comes to these other things? And how much about your nefesh do you know from Taylor? It's a fair question. How much about yourself, how Hashem created you, You know, you're talking about all this from spiritual. Like a market Titan, the people didn't want to speak about spiritual. Okay, he's speaking of spiritual. Okay, let's speak spiritual. How much spiritual do you know from Taylor? Hmm? And the answer is zero. I mean, that's what they told me. Actually, in the middle of the conversation, one of the kids said, why did they teach this stuff in school? That's actually what prompted me. One of the boys just jumped up and said, like, a lot of our discussion was understanding ourselves as a Yetzer Hara. We have Nefesh HaLikis, we have a Neshama, we have a physical being which creates an Yetzer Hara. This is who we are. Once you understand who we are, like Chava, Eil Chaim says, one of the reasons she was able to get fooled because she didn't know who she was. She didn't know, she didn't know what the world was like out there. So we're told we have to learn. And I went to school, I always say I went to different types of schools. I'm in the Babbage, but I started out in Stoll. My first 5 years in education was a Stoll education from Stoll. The next 3 years was a Teva Das, was literature education. Then I came to Lubavitch. Every yeshiva I went to had the exact same thing. We serve the same God, by the way. We dive into the same mitzvah. We do the same mitzvahs. And we're told we have a Yetzir Yetzir Hara. How do you like that? And it's fundamental. If without that, you don't understand. They want to come up and they want to come up with ideas to make it sound it's universal. Everybody, and there's no difference. Another thing, there's no difference between Eden or Goyim. There's a big difference between Eden or Goyim. This as the difference between Kedusha and Tumah. That's the difference between Eden or Goyim. A Yid is Kedusha and a Goyim is Tumah. It could be a chassidim sa'ilam, and a goy could be in the guy. But Kozman is not a goy. Is not a yid, and a goy. Where in our education are we telling our kids that? So you should know that. But my point is, when she says that I can't listen to my father, you know who's talking? The goy. A yid will never talk like that. I mean, the goy should be kibbutz. The latest heart is talking there. A yid will never talk like that. And I told this boy, it took a 15-minute discussion. I laid it out to him very clear. You have a choice. You can think about yourself, or you think about what Hashem wants of you. And he's not a learner. He's a worker. He stopped, he went, and he liked it.
Boy, that's
more
logical.
Yeah.
That's more emotional.
It could be, but being a sayer nitalisha is that, you know, don't cut that out. There is an understanding that women have, the men don't have. I mean, it cuts both ways. Each one has a strength they don't have. Work with the strengths that you do have.
Someone's coming from us, like in the hopes of a very difficult guest, like an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yeah, but then I said, you know, I'm backing out because I'm only doing it because what other people are going to say, you know, I'm not a real person. If you get it, I'm not doing it. Like, I want to tell my husband to call the other person to the next stop. And like, my Yezahar is just disguising himself. Like,
right.
I have to be real and for the reason of doing it, let me just do the mitzvah, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Very good. Okay, so this is okay. So I just brought up. I jumped ahead on a paper. Okay, so I just jumped ahead a little bit just to give you an idea why we're getting into this whole conversation. Is the shahr is called shayichud ha'maisa, to devote ourselves to doing a mitzvah because Hashem wants to do a mitzvah. And in this, it's interesting that the Rebbe Bachya puts in the whole discussion about Yetzer Hara here. He doesn't put it in before. Right? You think just as a this way boys learn. If he puts, if you put it in, he has, this is five. Yeah. So what's the first? Well, first one is about Amunah, Yichud, Hashem, oneness of Hashem. You see, Yichud means oneness. And here he's using the same word, Yichud, Hamaisa, the oneness of a Maisa, to do the Maisa Mitzvah for Hashem.
Where you get wholehearted.
Yeah, I'm saying so. I just wanted to point out that the translation, that's what translations are. I printed it.
It takes its own angle.
It takes, and then suddenly wholehearted, and you can take it away to a different conversation. Yichud HaMaisa means the oneness of your Maisa. In other words, try to get to a point and exact, you're right, because the Chazal tell us, from Leilu Shema, that's the Yadlu Shema. Precisely because of that, because we have a Yitzhah, and because we do have, how you say it, reasons or benefits from doing something. And actually Hashem creates it that way. Hashem creates a kid to do a mitzvah. You got to give him a lollipop. You have to reward him. And we're supposed to reward him. And that's how Hashem, for reason, we're not going to get into the bride, but look how Hashem created us. Hashem did create us in a way that we start out totally. A child, you have to motivate him by giving him candy, giving him a present. And as he gets older, the candy doesn't work anymore, you got to give him money. And then when the money doesn't work anymore, you got to give him respect. Respect is more than money. But whatever you do, you're going to be successful, you're going to be the first in the class, whatever, there's a motivation there. And then till the kid figures out that all that is really senseless, it's really the chokhmah of tein is really what's important. That's yichud ha'maisa. How do we get to a point? Because the first thing is, We have to know that Hashem is one. We have to look around the world and see the goodness of Hashem in the world. We have to then come to the conclusion that since Hashem is so good to us, we have to serve Him. That's Sha'aravei Tzadikim. Yeah. Just on time. Sha'aravei Tzadikim. And then once you have Eved Hashem, the Eibishter wants you to have B'tochen in Hashem. That's the next one. But now you have B'tochen Hashem. You want to serve Hashem. Let's work on getting ourselves to Yichud HaMaaseh, to do the Maaseh without the flattery. Because flattery means you're doing it for other people to do it, right? So if you look and think about Noach, this parsha, Noach was busy in the teva, a whole year feeding animals, doing what Hashem wanted, and there's nobody there to flatter him, actually. And he worked very hard. He was doing what Hashem wanted to do. Oh, actually, 120 years, he's building a teva, and nobody's there to flatter him because they were laughing at him. Okay, so quickly, we're gonna go to a few highlights on page one. Amar Mechaber, the Mechaber says that Nei, because she called him Amarena, because Shabbos is in English and is Hebrew and English. I forgot how to do this. English, English, English. Okay. Since I did not rehearse the English, I'm hoping it's right. Since the topic of our preceding discussion was placing one's trust in Hashem, I deemed it proper to follow with the clarification of the ways in which it is incumbent to devote all actions a religious service to Hashem alone. Why? Because this leads, when a person gets there, he says, this leads to purification of thought and heart from mixtures of other intents, which diminish the quality of action. So that's where Yetzer Hara comes in. When a person is doing something for other reasons, it diminishes the quality of a person's action every day. And where is that coming from? It comes from Yetzer Hara. Okay, do the mitzvah, but do it because you're going to be honored. It saves one from all sorts of embellishment and flattery to try the window of approval of other people, as Eliyahu, in Eov, he's talking to a few people. One of them, Eliyahu said, I will show partiality to no one, nor will I flatter any man. Okay, so now he explains you the six chapters that he's going to explain this in. The largest one, and the one that we really want to do, is the Chamishi. And I'm not going to go detail the first four, because some of it, I guess, the Chamishi is where he discusses the Yetzer Hara. And enough detail to get a good feeling, to get a good understanding of how he works. And then finally, sixth one is to protect or the rule of one's thoughts. So he starts out, one is what's the devotion of actions of Hashem, two is which leads to it, and which actions is devotion and duty, which things damage the devotion, and the fifth one is about the Yetzer Hara, obviously, and the sixth one is to guard and protect the rule of one's thoughts. Okay, chapter one is a few lines, but here he defines what Yichud HaMaaseh means. So what is the devotion of actions to Hashem? Are you missing? It is the intent, it's the kavana. It's what we're thinking about. In everything we do, whether we're thinking about it to ourselves, which is thought or feelings, thoughts and emotions, or hidden acts, in the service of Hashem, we give it to Dukkah, we give it in a quiet way, because we're doing it for His name, and to attain His favor only, and not to do them to in favor of other people. So we want to be connected to Hashem. How do you get there? So look at the chapter 2. I showed you already chapter 2, but we didn't read the first 9. And the first 5 you're going to recognize, and you'll suddenly see a very orderly sefer called Chevis Alvavis. And suddenly you see how Rabbeinu Bachya has everything structured very nicely. So he said like this. When they are established in man's heart and he clarifies for himself that they are the pillars of his service and the roots of his action, I mean, the person starts out with a foundation. What's my foundation? And then he can get to, because your actions should follow your feelings, and your feelings should follow your thoughts. The Yetzer Hara, who's likened to an animal, is the other way around, right? An animal doesn't act on his feelings, but there's no thoughts, there's no kavana there. He just does what he likes, and that's why one of the easiest way to identify a Yetzer Hara is if the emotion came through a thoughtful process or just came because that's the way I am, or that's my emotion, and without understanding why I'm doing it. Okay, so he says he will able to fully devote his actions to Hashem, and he will turn or hope to anyone else, nor have any other intent in them than other than to do his will. So, what are the 10 things? If you look at them, it's actually very, very methodical and very thoughtful. The first thing is a person has to have a good belief to believe with a complete heart. The unity of Hashem, as I explained in the beginning of this book, that's the first shot of Chevis Lavavos, is talking about the oneness of Hashem and the understanding of it. Again, there are those that learn it, those that don't learn it, those that can understand, wherever you are, the belief in oneness of Hashem is the foundation of everything. Because the more a person believes that there is nothing else other than Hashem, he stops thinking that there are other things, including himself, that he has to take into account for what he wants to do. As long as a person thinks there is another power that he has to deal with, himself included, is that skews his decisions how to do things. When a person realizes, and that's why you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad 2 times a day, at least. Because what we're going to do is we reaffirm that the real existence that all exists is Hashem. There is really nothing else besides Him. And by way of explanation, just to bring it down in a little bit of understanding, maybe even a visual, you can picture it in your head. And the example is given that the difference between the creation of the world, which came from that, gracious Baruch Hashem, Hashem Vesaras, I even believe in, which is by the manifesting, is the opposite of this. I'm about to tell you because. Because that's what it is. They don't believe in what I'm about to tell you. So that the world was created from nothing. There was nothing, and Hashem created the world. And when you understand basically that way, you realize that the whole world exists only because of Hashem's will and power to have it, and it has to be constant. For example, if someone were to take unlike when a person says he created a masterpiece, he created a nice bowl. Okay, so he can make it and he can leave. He doesn't have to keep on doing it. He takes a piece of silver. He forms it, he shapes it, and he does it nicely. He puts it down on the table, he walks away. However, that's a very big. You can't compare that to creation in no way, because when we use the word created, he created a masterpiece. He didn't create anything. He took a piece of silver that was there before he came, was doing just fine, and he changed the shape. And even the shape that he changed it into was not a new shape. Totally, he changed a shape that this piece had within it. Potentially, right? You can't put a shape into a piece of silver that it's impossible for the silver to maintain. So he didn't do anything new. And that's why when he finishes, he can leave. Because he didn't create anything. However, when you understand that Hashem creates something, nothing was there, and Hashem says, I want it to be there. When you say Hashem says, Hashem doesn't have a mouth, chas v'shalom, to say anything, meaning Hashem, the same way we speak, we're revealing what we had hidden in our thoughts. The same way we say, Vayem Relikim, means Hashem now is revealing the power of creation, which he did with the son of my mothers, and he said, Yehi Oyedesh, we like, the Shiyarakiya. And Hashem said, Yirakiya, the letters, Reish, Kuf, Yud, Ayin, has power to create the Rakiya, because Hashem is all powerful and he creates. Now, this Rakiya you're looking at right now, is the Rakiya there? No, because if Hashem would stop for a second, to say Yirakiya, it would go back to what it was. Nothing. The only reason it's here is because Hashem said Yirakiya. Hashem would stop saying Yirakiya for any second, it would go away. So what you're really looking at is the power of Hashem creating Yirakiya, and this goes for any part of the world. By way of example, when Hashem, one of the biggest nisim that we know of, that Hashem did for us, is Kiri Samsuf. There's an ocean of water, and Hashem brought a Ruach Kodem Azza. He brought a Ruach Kodem. Ruach Kodem can be a physical wind, it can be a spiritual wind, whatever the Ruach Kodem is. But a Ruach Kodem he brought, and it split the water, right? And it says, Kalaila, it was there all night. Meaning, why? Because water naturally falls down. Water can't stand. Stone, if you take a few blocks of stones and you put them one on top of the other, it's going to stand. You put them up, then you walk away. Water does not stand. Water always falls down to its lowest point. So if you're creating, now you're making in the water, not a perfect creation, but in terms of bringing something new, you did make something new. Water can't stand. You made it stand just now. How did you make it stand? Because you took a Ruach Kodem and you put it in front of it and it held the water up. So now you are injecting something new into the water. Now let's understand that. When you're doing that, you have to continue, for the water to stand, you have to continue to have this Ruach Kodem all night, unless, because when the Hebishter wanted to drown the Mitzrayim, all they had to do is stop the Ruach Kodem, Moshe Rabbeinu picked up his matter, and the Ruach Kodem stopped in the water, and the Mitzrayim. He didn't have to take the water and drown them, all they had to do is stop it. So what do we see from there? When something new is happening, bring it down to a 1-2-liner. When you're making something new, then the power that made it this new thing has to be there all the time. Because we didn't have a munda that the world is created from new. There was no world before. And there are other religions that say different things. That's why we say firmly, Shema Yisrael Hashem Shem Echad. And we logically can explain it. He does that in Shara Yichud. But our munda, at least, is that the Eibishter creates everything from new. So what we're looking at is a godly power creating everything. Now, if we dive into this thought and we thought about it, our impression of the world that we're looking at will change totally. That you'll suddenly see everything you see here is because Hashem wills it to be here. And suddenly you can have a money, you have a betachon. How powerful somebody looks, you realize that Hashem is giving it that power. How, right?
They're saying now with AI that as it's getting better and better, it's challenging so many of the concepts and the beliefs that we had. Like one of them is that people are able to make up songs on AI that are like stunning classical, like mixtures of notes that have never been heard before and are unbelievable. And it's challenging the idea of what does it even mean to be a creative? What does it mean to be somebody who is a musical genius? It means that they were just able to put together certain notes that were already there from before. They never created a new
right, movie. Right.
It's that they were able to put it together in an interesting way. But now it's like AI is challenging this idea of that people could actually be creative because of the.
Well, that takes away the creativity of a person.
It takes away the humanity of a person, right? Like, what does that mean that we are?
Or that we're not creative. But I call upon him. There's only seven notes, right? And Mashiach comes with an eighth note. I challenge AI to give me an eighth note.
That's what it's showing. It's showing that everything in this world is only here because Hashem already
knew. You're right, yeah. But
wait, yeah.
Correct.
But we're not creating anything.
Correct. Correct. Good. But not the creator, Hashem. But part of our, and that's why you have to learn the continual davening and thinking about it, is not that Hashem created the world. Hashem creates the world every single day, meaning every single moment, actually. We see it every single day. The sun comes up, and that's very, very empowering, because when we realize Hashem created a new day. There's new chayas, there's new abilities, you can daven for a whole new day that you didn't have yesterday. That fits in with one pasuk. Hamachadish b'tuva b'chol yom tov ma'aseh bereishis. Actually, in Shachris, right before Shema, you say Lakel Baruch Nim Siteinu. You say interesting sequence of things. Say Beirut voice. He creates voice. Adonai Rafael is a master of miracles, and then who creates the world from new. And what's the connection between miracles and new? That's the creator. That is the connection. I believe in Adonai Rafael is that it's just miracles because Hashem creates the world from new. So yesterday was like this, and today that's betoch. That's exactly betoch. Betoch means there is no. See, yes, Hashem generally creates the world now in sequence how he created the world a minute ago, and that's why people get older and whatever, and things flow. But there is an aspect, every single part of the new is new. That miracle is when Hashem disconnects it from that sequence and it's just a whole new thing in it. And that's B'tachon.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's there for a month, but I told my son once, well, it's down from that, it's a Tvila, like that's not.
Tvila Shav.
Yeah, in some kind of ways.
Yeah, so that's also taken a little bit out of context. When you're davening for four, you're not asking for a nurse, you're asking for a four. How Hashem does it?
The doctor says there's no such cure.
The doctor doesn't create it. That's the point. Hashem says, even if you have
What is that tefillah shef? When is it possible?
Maybe for, it would be for, let's say, a person knows or a person's carrying a boy, he wants to be diving for a girl or vice versa.
Oh, work
away. Okay, so that's the chiddush. That's a chiddush. That's a part of the tefillah. But okay, but everything has. The most worked a little different, but that would be a perfect example of. But you're a person that's asking for, Eid is never, and that you should explain to your child, the whole concept of davening is that you're not asking Teva. You're asking Hashem, who controls Teva, to make things happen in a way that doctor doesn't know how. The doctor is not the end all. And we get to see it more and more and more and more. The whole belief in doctors is a misplaced belief. They know. They know what they do know, but they can't have the final say. How many times do we see doctor said one thing and
the weatherman says
the weatherman for sure is on. We had the Baruch Hashem, the amount of days for Simcha Beis Hashem was less this year. It was because I had Matzah Yom Tov was Wednesday night, Thursday night you had, and then you Crown Heights then Friday night, and then you have Matzah Shabbos and then Shana Rabba. So when are you going to talk? It was Matzah Shabbos he made in one of the sukkahs of one of my good friends over here, Naftali Rosenberg. So he made in the sukkah for Simcha Beis Hashem. And I put out that let's go together. Like some shaver there. Friday, somebody calls me back. He says, "What's going to be? There's a storm coming." I said, "What storm?" I just didn't know. a big storm. It's mommy. They say it's one of the big. Everything's the biggest storm since the biggest storm. And somehow it always winds up being yes, but you know, so they're never wrong. They're just something didn't work exactly. And so I said, "This, I understand you. You what kind of conversation that you want to do a mitzvah?" And they're telling you something's going to happen that's going to interfere with your shiva. What do you got to do? Daven is in the tefillah. That's what he has to do. Oh, yeah. About the Shabbos, I get a text from somebody. What is the plan B? Because there's a storm coming. I said, no plan B. We're having a storm. And there was no storm, bottom line. There was a rain happening on Sunday. And the pella is, I tell you what the pella is. The pella is, with all this, somehow the weatherman said, and I think part of the Avodah Zarah is, because they show you a picture. Like a doctor, they can take an X-ray, show you a picture, and I have a perfect story. This Avraham Mitzvah is fighting in a machlish. That's a good story to say. My Zaidi walked into Lubavitcher Rebbe with an X-ray, and he had stomach problems. He went to the doctor and took an X-ray, and he says, Rebbe, the doctor said he found something in my stomach, and the Rebbe said to him, Azevi zehim gefunden, azevel zehdos falil. That's a Jewish way of looking at things. They found it. At the way, same way they found it, that same way they're going to lose it. That little doctor, he's not going to any more doctors. Anyways, he lived another 30 years. And they said, there's no more doctors. He didn't go any more doctors. I asked my father about the story. He said he was in there with him. He came there. And there's a rabbi. There's something. And my grandmother, Lashon, wanted him to go to a doctor. So he went to ask permission for the rabbi to go to a doctor. So the rabbi said, you can go to Dr. Zelikson, who was a doctor. And he could only talk to him in learning. So he wanted to. True story. Okay, so the first thing is to believe, and this is by, you know, we just said something in 10, 15 minutes, but this is actually a whole chapter, and this is obviously talked about in Chemes Lavavis, it's talked about in the Kuzri, it's talked about in different ways. This Indian of Achdus Abeda, that there's nothing else besides the Abishan, Tanya thinks about it, a lot of Svarim, if you want to think I'm Chaltok, so everybody talks about it, because in order to have a Munda, it's not just that there is an Abishan, there's nothing else other than Abishan. Everything here is a creation, anything that's created is a Maimer, a Dvar Hashem, that's making it happen. So Mitamol, so when you see something, you don't see it as a separate entity, you see it as Hashem making. The question is, why is Hashem doing it? And that comes back, why is it? Why, when I was in a place called prison, I tried to get my thoughts together, and this helped me get my thoughts together. Everything here has been created by Hashem. Nothing's, they have no power over me, but why is Hashem doing it? So I was able to, instead of focusing on their power they have, I was focused on the real power. Why is Hashem doing it? And then try to do what Hashem wants, and then be able to live properly in when I was there, and ultimately brought something together, and that's that I had Hashem freeing me. So the first thing, and now you see a structure to his sefer, Chavis al-Bavis. The first thing is to believe with a complete heart in the unity of Hashem, that's nothing else. To reflecting, second one, we said, oh, we talked, reflecting on Hashem's constant favors, that's Shabbachina. The third one is to take on oneself the duty to serve Hashem. So now you conclude, there's nothing else besides Hashem. So what do I want? I want to connect to the only thing that's real. I want to connect to Hashem. How do I connect to Hashem? By learning Torah mitzvahs. I'm going to have a Yiddish shtub. I'm going to have a Jewish house. In my house will be only things that are real. In my house, only things that are true. In my house will be only things that are kedusha. I will not, or permitted by kedusha. I will not allow things that are false into my house. What's false? Anything that doesn't connect to Hashem is false. Because the only reason Hashem will want something that's not kedusha is to test you, or like a fruit has a peel. A peel is there to serve the fruit. You want the fruit, but the peels are throwaway. Once the fruit is grown, you have the fruit. So the physical is only there for the fruit, for the kedusha to use to serve him. So that's number three. To take oneself the duty to serve Hashem, as you mentioned before. I mentioned gate three. And then he says he's actually going through his sefer. He's not saying it that way, but he's actually doing that. To realize, actually, when I first started learning that, I was just like full of smiles. Oh, wow, look at this. To realize a duty, once you want to be an Eved Hashem, now you realize a duty to place one's trust in Hashem alone and not in created beings. So now, once I got here, I realized then I have to trust Hashem alone. The created beings cannot give me anything that Hashem doesn't want me to have. The created beings can hurt me if Hashem doesn't want me to be hurt. So who do I ask for my things? Only Hashem. And don't tell me ain't simcha al nas, because even teva, to a certain degree, teva is also on us, right? If you think about it.
That whole thing
from Rokish, they go with the Sanfana. Okay, we'll do it this time. But next time. Can you survive next week? Okay. But a very simple thing, when you're asking Hashem for sustenance, you're not asking for nisim, you're asking for sustenance.
I mean, what's the difference between asking Hashem for a dead person to become alive?
Because Hashem says that won't happen for Tchisa Mesa.
Thanks,
yeah.
You helped me.
Just like that, yeah. So, and obviously, by the way, this is good. So, but obviously, the everything you that's going to be number 10. Okay, to realize five, to realize that help or harm is not near the created being without permission of a creator. That's an extension to four, actually. We split it out, And then once you're there, so obviously everything gets helped by number one, obviously, it'd be equal to oneself whether people praise or scorn him. That's the level. To abandon trying to embellish oneself to others, to turn the heart away from worldly interests and occupied with matters of the next world, meaning doing tzemitzah is not to get dragged down with worldly things, and to fear Hashem and feel embarrassed from him. And finally, I'll give you a little preview, but you see, as you're going through the whole thing, it seems like really hard work. But number 10 is really where it's at. And especially in our generation, when the Yetzer Hara stirs an urge in one's heart to take counsel from the intellect and follow it, and not to follow the Yetzer. But I see the word intellect, I guess, is also has to be explained. I wish he did. When he says the word seichel, he's talking seichel apitayin. He does this a lot in the third gate. And obviously, because Yetzer Hara also has seichel. The Nachash was Adam Kolachayin. The Nachash was very, very clever. The Nachash was sophisticated. He was sophisticated. He wasn't stupid. He was able to fool Chava and to do something she really didn't want to do. So the word intellect is not, again, intellect does not mean part of the intellect. Intellect means, and he speaks about it a lot in Gate 3, about intellect has to be based, has to come from the seichel of Torah. Torah teaches you how to think, Torah teaches you the truth, because as we see today, it's very easy to use seichel and to use philosophy and use therapy and things that pull people away from the truth of Torah. So what are we told here? We're told that when an emotion comes up, and I think this one liner here heals a lot of things. When the people say that you're stuck with your emotions, you can't control them because you're triggered. The word trigger happens to be, it's a nice word, but it has in it an idea that you can't really stop it. Once it comes, what's a trigger? You pull a trigger and the bullet comes out. Taylor does it differently. An emotion can come up and you're not triggered because you have a seichel in your head, and it happens to be that your brain is higher above your heart. So you can stop that trigger. You can stop that emotion if you decide in your mind that before I accept any emotion, I'm going to first use my seichel, the Gedusha. I keep on emphasizing my seichel of Taylor. To find out, is this emotion coming from my Yetzer Hara? It could come from Yetzer Tevos. Emotions, it depends what kind of emotion it is. So I use my seichel to control my emotion, and then it's a very healthy, because like if you can understand like this, depression. Take an emotion like depression, which is something personally in my experience of life. Going to the place called prison, I was obviously challenged many times with an emotional depression. The place, the way it's designed, the people around you. I forgot to tell you an interesting story. There's my crazy story. So I just heard this story. I walked into one of the Silva Shiva Shanarab at night. Guy sitting over here. And he tells me, I have a story for you. You don't even know yourself. Really? From prison. It's not in your book. I said, okay, there's my last name about. But so he tells me a story like this quickly. He has a friend that has went to a ball game. He's a guy who can't pay for parking. He doesn't pay for parking. Somebody offered him he's not paying for parking. So he parked in the CBS next nearby. And they towed his car. Which gets her, comes back, car's towed. So he didn't pay for parking, he paid for towing. He's right. So he gets his car back and he realizes that the towing company just damaged his bump. Being a tough guy that he is, he seems to be upset as a chevron. So he can't let go. He calls up the towing company. He wants his money back for breaking his bump. So first he can't get through a long time. Finally he gets through and he tells him what he wants and they start laughing at him. We tow cars, we don't pay anybody any money. Who do you think you're talking to all that? No, okay, I gotta speak to the boss. Come speak to the boss. Where can I speak to the boss? It makes a time. He did have a car that day, seems like, so he took somebody's car, and that guy in the car had one of my tapes, or not tapes, whatever it's called, these little sticks, MP3s. So he's listening to my shiur. I guess he had my name in his head. And the way he's listening to my shiur in the Shabbat talking, he gets to this rough neighborhood where the towing company is. He comes in, he wait half an hour. Finally, this guy comes in full of tattoos. He comes in. That's what he described to me. I can't picture the guy who he is. And he says to him, what do you want? He says, you guys stole my car. $300 damage. I want my $300. He says, forget about it. We never pay anybody. We tow it. This, whatever. And then as he's talking to him, and he doesn't want to let go, he says to him, one second, are you Jewish? I guess it's him, a Jew, is an odd thing. We think everybody knows Jews are. But Graham don't. You're Jewish? He says, yeah. He says to him, I did time with a Jew. What was his name? Because he had my name in his head. He said, Rabashkin? He said, yeah, that's the guy, Rabashkin. I got to tell you, this guy, I was there for a while with him. He was, he said Shavachim over there. One of the things he said, he did his own thing. He prayed on the side, but he was respectful to everybody. He was nice to everybody. Like, he really was respectful to everybody, unlike a lot of other people there. And how much money you said I have to give you? He took a job.
What?
Okay. They gave him a station. So this is, I don't know who he is. I don't know. I can't even begin. And the mind of community, but what got me from the whole story is a few things. That, what did he see by this Jew? First of all, he said, I wasn't mixing with everybody. So I never played cards with them. I never played chess with them. I never watched movies with them. I didn't go out in the yard. What do you do? I never ate with them. What am I doing with them? Yet he kept separate, but he respected everybody. It's interesting to understand that. What was he referring to? Well, but that's the point. We are Yidden. And when we do, when we live the way you're supposed to live, even a goy cannot see that this person is a respectful person. He's actually better than everybody else. That's what we see over here. How's the Ebbets to make? How to get into the conversation? We have a head on top of a heart. Our emotions come from the heart. An animal's heart and his head are on the same level. So an animal can't control. The triggering belongs to animals. Whatever they can do, and the lab mice, they found out that mice are triggered. Kenzine. shouldn't be triggered. Now, if he goes with his Yetzirah, the Yetzirah is a nachash or animal, right? It's a behemoth. So then you're right. When a person lives with physical pleasures, then he is triggered. And he's triggered, and they got a problem. But if a yid should know that he has a seichel, and that's what he's telling him. And he's doing it number 10 because I believe the foundation of everything. I mean, at the end of the day, everything is beautiful, but this is so fundamental, and this is so important to know. You have to use your seichel, means using your nefesh alikis, use the tzelem alikim, is seichel. It's tzelem, as I state. The tzelem, when you say Hashem created a person with tzelem alikim, Hashem doesn't have an image, chas v'sholem. The tzelem alikim is talking about the das, the seichel that a person has. That's our tzelem alikim, the nefesh, the neshama. So he says, look at the word he uses, sheyavot, take counsel from your seichel. And seichel means seichel the kedusha, seichel of teira. V'chol hurei a yetzer believer. When an emotion comes up, you have trauma, you have depression, ask your seichel, is this correct or not? And then do as the seichel tells you. So in the place called prison, I Baruch Hashem, learning is, again, the only reason we're smart is because Hashem gives us a teira. So I learned, and they put me the right, put it together, that before I accept any emotion of depression or anxiety or sadness or whatever, any emotion you want to, the first thing is ask yourself, where is this emotion coming from? That's a very important question, because I bet you, I don't care how much you know and learn, because not everybody's all learning, but once a person understands that this is a nachash talking to me, you chase it away. Nobody will, when you realize this is a Adam speaking, the Yetzer is talking to me, oh, I have to work with it. But if you realize that this depression is coming from your biggest enemy, that's what next week we'll learn. And you can take these papers if you want to. I learned a lot before. So.
Anxiety and
depression. Yeah.
If you ever feel any of
yeah. Why? Because, and the biggest weapon, the next week, I'm going to have a few questions. The biggest weapon, the SRU is depression. The biggest SRU is because when a person is depressed, what's depression versus sadness? Depression and sadness
depression
are two.
Despair,
depression, yeah. Depression means years. Atzmus.
Right. No.
Yeah. Yush, there's actually a term in Gemara. Yush, Alimadas. Have you guys spoken about it? Yush. Depression means. I'll just tell you, but depression means versus sadness. A person can be sad about a certain state of being. A person can be sad. They have a certain thing in life that's hurting them. Something happened. Something that Hashem gave them in the sign that's painful. So it's sadness. At least it has life in it. You can take sadness and turn it to motivator. You can take sadness and say, okay, I don't want to be sad anymore. I want to take what I have and I want to make me happy. The problem with depression is that depression is this lack of energy. It saps you. It's I'm no
one
good.
One of the diagnostic words is called anhedonia. That means the lack of wanting to do stuff.
There you go. It has to be Greek. It can't be Lashon Kodesh, huh? And it says that he says that the person is created with four elements. The element of earth is in the spiritual sense is depression and laziness. The earth is down.
Amazing.
You can take it if you want. I'll put more. Yeah. Okay. So everybody have a good week. No depression. So what? And the only symptom. But there's your shkedish. Fair enough. Shkedish. Woman not allowed to work either. So it's a happy day. Today and tomorrow.